Oztober.
Come on, Australia.
A whole month eating solidly from the buffet that is Australian music. Celebrating the songs that made it famous and the artists that made it legendary.
You.
Serving up another plate of Aussie music. The Screaming Jets, Dave Gleeson.
Hi.
The Oztober Lunch.
It's Oztober, and you know what that means. We are taking over lunch every single day this month. You are with Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and the Angels, picking some of his favourite music, talking to some of his favourite Australian musicians. My name's Matty O from British India. Good to see you again, Dave.
You too, mate. And it's always great to be celebrating the great contribution that Australian music has made to the musical landscape of the world.
Speaking of adding something to the musical landscape, we've got a very special guest in today too.
We have indeed. We're going to be talking to James Rain, who's he's one of those blokes. There's a few of them around who had a massive early career with the band,
yep.
and then has gone on to have even more success as a solo artist. So, going to hear a bit from him about what it's like life on the road, being an Aussie icon.
Let's kick it off with some music, though, eh?
Yeah. Look, the Divinyls were a band that the Jets supported a couple of times early on in their career. We actually got thrown off a Divinyls support once. Someone said to us, "Don't play FRC." And for anyone who knows the Jets and our back catalogue, FRC is the name that cannot be mentioned on radio at any time,
okay.
Not even after 2 a.m. in the morning. They said, "Don't play that," which was, you know, to a bunch of boys from Newcastle, was like a red rag to a bull. So we got out there and played it, and quite soon we found ourselves kicked off that tour. But the Divinyls are a great band, and we miss Chrissy Amphlett dearly. She was an absolute treasure of Australian rock.
Oztober. It's the Oztober Lunch with Screaming Jets and Angels frontman Dave Gleeson. We got a very special guest coming in soon.
We have indeed. James Rain's going to be joining us. And the great thing about it is, with the history of Australian music and, you know, talking about the Red Hot Summers as we have and Day on the Greens and stuff like that, I reckon about 85 to 90% of the guys who are around back in the day are still out there doing it,
which is
a real testament to the loyalty of Australian rock fans.
It's good, isn't it? It's just, and all these festivals as well that are popping up that are really kind of celebrate 80s and 90s Australian music, and there's such a huge, you know, fan base out there still.
Yeah, and of course, you know, and of course, I think that breeds on to the, you know, the contemporary artists such
as
yourself who have kind of grown up listening to those bands, as I did when I was, you know, growing up. I was listening to Ozcrawl and the Angels and AC/DC and Dragon and the Divinyls, and the list goes on. And to know that these people are still out there rocking on is fantastic. One of the bands that I loved as a kid, I saw them probably when I was 17, 18 years old, was Icehouse.
Yeah.
Back in the day, there was obviously the rivalry as well, and there was the harder bands, and then there was the less hard bands, the bands with keyboards, etc. And I still remember people used to go, "Oh, Nice House." And I go, "There's nothing wrong with Ice House just because they got keyboards in them." But I just thought Great Southern Land really ties into the Oztober ethos.
Oztober. We are celebrating all things Australian music during October. It's the Oztober Lunch with Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and the Angels. And we welcome to the studio Mr. James Rain.
Looking back through your career, James, obviously starting off, you know, with Ozcrawl in the late 70s, was a magical time for music, wasn't it, around that time?
There are a lot of great bands that were either starting or just started, but we were only a couple of years old, and I think it was good because there were so many different kinds of venues, and as you know, I mean, there wasn't the same sort of alternatives to the entertainment dollar. So I think, you know, there are a lot of bands could play a lot, you know, you could work 6 times for 10 months of the year, you know, in different places, and it supported, you know, a lot of bands. So that's why I think it was so healthy.
Yeah,
and radio was able to be very supportive right across the board. You know, they weren't sort of all the, as I say, all the alternatives.
Look, I remember waiting with bated breath for albums to come out. I remember my cousin cried when Sirocco came out because she'd waited so long for it. And she was so excited. Looking back on that, the Ozcrawl thing was, you know, in the roundup of things, was only a very short period in your professional life, wasn't it?
Yeah, the band started about, you know, dribbled in about 77, 78, and it was all over by February 86, so yeah.
And how daunting was it then to, because you'd already dipped your toe a bit in the solo stuff, but how daunting was it to then venture out as James Rain?
I didn't look at it as being daunting because I was so, nothing against anyone personally, but I was just so glad to be, sort of be out of the band. I mean, it got a bit funny towards the end, but I think, like, you know, bands sometimes do, and I think I was just ready to, move on. So I was actually quite excited because I have this sort of sense of freedom a bit. Didn't have to sort of pay lip service to, you know, band democracy, really. You know, you can go, well, I want to be this way, and you didn't have to argue with anyone else in the band, you know, which is probably my fault. I was probably paying ass to be in a band with, but it was liberating.
Oztober. We're celebrating Oztober in October every day at lunchtime with Dave Gleeson from the Screaming Jets and the Angels. Gleeson, when a band gets to your level of popularity and fame, you must get a lot of offers for, like, corporate shows and private functions as well.
Yeah, corporate shows are a beauty because you get paid great money.
Yeah.
No one knows about it. The trick with corporate shows is not to get in there and play all your own songs because not everyone's going to be a Jets fan or a fan of all your music. So then you throw in Roadhouse Blues and Sweet Home Alabama and all that kind of carry on.
Yeah.
The best one we ever did was in Thailand. We got flown over to Thailand for the Flight Centre International Conference.
No way. How ironic, considering you've been kicked off a plane before.
Anyway, we get over there and the first day we stay at the Hard Rock Cafe in Pattaya Beach. It was all very swish and we were carrying on and getting on the drink and that. Anyway, on the way to soundcheck, we went through this little back street and there was, like, you know, ladies of the night all over the joint, and one of them come up to the window and she had a bowl of, like, lychees, right? So I go, oh, she just handed him up to the window. Oh, yeah, grab a lychee off a lady of the night.
Yeah.
And I whacked it in my mouth. And, you know, have you ever had a lychee before?
I have.
Right, they're beautiful and sweet. Well, this one was, like, really kind of had a sour bite to it. It tasted kind of chemically.
Yeah.
I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah.
So I had it. And within half an hour, my heart is racing at about 1,000 miles an hour. I'm sweating like I've stolen something from the mafia. I'm going, what is going on? They had to get the ambulance officers over to me to give me something to calm down and stuff.
So it just hit you, whatever that mystery lychee was.
It was laced with something. And I've always said, if you can't trust the lady of the night in the back streets of Pattaya Beach in Thailand handing you things you don't know what they are, then who can you trust? So let that be a lesson to everyone. Just be careful when people offer you stuff. Yeah. It might not be exactly what you think it is.
Hey, how was the gig?
It was okay, and the best part about it was we went on first, and guess who came on after us?
Who's that?
Shagger.
Oh, really?
Carolina.
No.
That was a big international bill for us.
Happy days, man. And how was the rest of the trip?
Oh, it was good. We had a great time. We tried not to get in any trouble. We went to McDonald's one night, and I'm not going to say the drummer's name that we had at the time, but there was a massive Ronald McDonald there, and he ran and crash tackled it. Then we went skinny dipping in the water where there's, you know, people told us the next day, there's sharks there. And we go, oh, there wasn't when we were there.
Yeah.
But when we walked off the beach, we went up to get something to eat. And my mate reached into his back pocket. He goes, oh, I've lost my passport. We went back down and there it was still on the beach.
Really? No one had taken it?
No, it was in the middle of the night, thankfully.
There you go. And dare I say,
oh, travels abroad, that's where you get in all kinds of trouble.
And dare I say you went looking for more lychees at some point too.
Now I knew what they were. I was like, give me more.
Oztober. Day three done and dusted, but we've got another big show tomorrow, Dave.
Yeah, we have indeed. We're going to be trawling through the vast catalogue of Australian music. As I look at it here in front of me, we've got, we've got our computer telling us all the great songs. I wish we had 6 months of Oztober to get through all this great music. But we're going to be talking to Cav Templey from Eskimo Joe tomorrow, who've been doing great things over the last few years, so it'll be good to catch up with him.
Dave, thanks so much, man. It's been awesome to listen to you chat and talk to all of you. Yeah, it's amazing having you here. Looking forward to tomorrow.
Cheers, mate. You too. Rock on.
It's the Oztober Lunch with Dave Gleeson. Oztober.